This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
There's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. I just thought I'd let that play just a little bit as you hear the lyrics of that song. Mother, 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 there's too many of you dying, brother. You know, and so, you know, 54 years later, I'm still playing that song every morning, and it is as relevant today as it ever was. But anyway, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. You know, we're complaining about, you know, what is it, 5 degrees? Man, we could be in L.A. right now. It's warm, but it's you know, those wildfires, man. You know, you trade off sometimes be living in the Midwest and in the East, and you know, us having to deal with the cold weather. But man, what they deal with in these warm areas, they can keep. Anyway, it was Wednesday. It's Wednesday, so that means I am joined by some great people, co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Dr. Yana Lambrudinu and Paul Swartz, co-founders of Lead-Free Water, and Robert Miranda of Flack. Good morning to all of you. It's good to have us back together again. For those who don't know, this is a labor of love, but information that is being organized and brought to you, life-changing and life-saving information with this group of just talented and wonderful people. Good to see you all again. Happy New Year.
Good to see you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Earl. So good to be here.
Yes. It's better to have you guys here. Hey, Robert, let me read this first paragraph, and then you take it. Because this is kind of what the subject is going to be about today. Baby food labels will reveal levels of lead and other heavy metals for the first time. Lead and other toxic heavy metals have been found in dangerously elevated amounts in some commercial baby food sold in the United States, yet parents have had no way to know if the baby food they purchased contained those high levels. I don't need to read any further, Robert. I'll turn it over to you, because I'm sure the American people can't believe that there would be these lead levels in baby food. And people don't know, man. What is going on?
Well, it shows the level of misinformation, misleading the public, not being transparent about what it is that we are fed and told to drink by our government and by the industrial complexes of this country that manufactures our foods and our and the things that we ingest via juices, whatever. And, you know, some of these laws that are now coming in, and this law that you're specifically talking about, coming from California, shows that there is some awakening happening out there in the country, that people and politicians and legislators are starting to take note that people are getting sick and people need information. And so, you know, kudos to the people in California for drafting this this legislation. I believe it's AB 899, calling for this transparency of information for the public to know what it is exactly that they are feeding, in this case, babies, infants, what is in those products. And it's a very important issue that we should look at, because it's also a kind of blueprint for us as we were talking about this whole thing with lead pipes and lead and water. You know, this need for more transparency in our country, for us to be able to know what it is exactly we are buying and what we are feeding our families, is a matter of public health, is a matter of health, period, for our families, so that we can ensure that our children are growing up without the adverse effects of products that we thought were safe. And, you know, food, water, air, those are vital to the existence of a human being. This is very important. And so, you know, the work that was done in California to make this happen is, you know, I applaud it. It's great that they're doing this. But I think that we could also do this here in Milwaukee when we're talking about lead and water. I mean, we have to be more transparent to the public in regards to what levels of lead we're dealing with here in Milwaukee. And the public needs to know, because in the last year, when the Milwaukee Water Works, for example, released its lead copper rule required information to the public, not many people really understand that information. Not many people understand that even though the Milwaukee Water Works has met all levels required by the EPA, the lead content still in the water is still too high, past the levels that the CDC recommends, past the levels that the EPA recommends, and the recommendation is zero. The last report that was put out there by the Milwaukee Water Works shows that in their lead copper rule 90 percentile readings, we still had over a 5.3 parts per billion level of lead in water, and in some cases, in one case, that reached over 20 parts per billion. What they also didn't tell the public, and the public really doesn't know, but they did tell the public because it's out there, but the public doesn't know, and the public should know. That information should be given to them by the government. The government shouldn't be forcing us to look for it. They should be putting that out there, is that even though they did meet the requirements of EPA, lead is still in the water in all of their tests. Some form of detectable levels of lead was present in the water. And even though those numbers show that it's under what the recommendation is of 10 parts per billion, the bottom line is, and finally the EPA acknowledged that in this new lead copper rule improvement that they put out there, that part per billion recommendation is not a health-based recommendation. That's a number that was pulled out of somebody's butt. It doesn't have any standing. It's just something that they threw out there to tell people, okay, if it's under this parts per billion, it's safe. And that's totally misleading and totally false. And the people should understand that. They should understand these recommendations are not health-based. They are more for the convenience of the water utilities to be able to continue doing business as usual and not worry about investing their monies to improve water distribution infrastructure. So I'm glad California is moving in that direction. I'm glad that this is out there in regards to what they're doing, because it is serving as a kind of a blueprint of how we need to be more transparent, especially when it comes to lead and water issues.
If you're just joining us, I am joined this morning by Dr. Yana Lembernidou, Paul Swartz, and their co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda of FLAC. And Dr. Lembernidou, is it the fact, in your opinion, that part of the reason why they can continue to do these things is they don't fear any liability? I mean, they're doing these things and they're not fearing liability.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we're talking about lead in drinking water, this is a contaminant that is regulated by the lead and copper rule. And this is a law that does not require water utilities to deliver water that has no lead in it. Even when water utilities exceed this EPA lead action level, that's what it's called, of right now it's at 15 parts per billion. Even when water utilities exceed that standard, under the lead and copper rule, they're still not considered in violation of the regulation. When they exceed that standard, and that means that when they find that there is severe and widespread contamination across their distribution system, they're just required to take some corrective measures, but they're not considered in violation of the rule. So you're right, Earl, that this is a regulation that we're dealing with that does not hold water utilities accountable for delivering lead-tainted drinking water, and certainly does not hold them accountable when people experience direct harm from ingesting this water.
So guys, hang on. I'm joined again by Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lembernidou, Robert Miranda, and we're talking about lead in the water. 855-752-4842 is the number.
Right on.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. My guest, Robert Miranda of FLAC, Paul Swartz, co-founder Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Dr. Yana Lembernidou, campaign for lead-free water. Tony says water utilities aren't required to deliver clean water. So, Robert, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to you and let you have the conversation and take it where you and Yana and Paul think it should go. So I'm gonna step back and turn it over to you, Robert. You take the conversation where you want to go this morning.
Well, that's a good point that
Tony.
Is it Tony?
Yes.
Tony? Yeah, Tony brings up because as Dr. Lambrini-Du mentioned before, there is no real effort to hold the water utilities accountable the way that the public sees major corporations being regulated. You know, it's like there's these regulations by the EPA that are coming out to hold certain government agencies like water utilities responsible, but there's really no teeth in accountability in those guidelines. They call them they don't say words like mandates or regulations. They say guidelines. This is a guideline. This is you know, no. We've got to have some teeth in all those EPA mandated standards that should hold these water utilities accountable. The way we hold cigarette manufacturers accountable, the way we hold food industries accountable, these government agencies should be held to account. You know, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du says that, you know, the people expect that the corporations, mega corporations, big industrial food people and cigarette making people are going to screw them over. But, you know, for us to believe and trust that government isn't going to affect us in the way that they do, that's very naive. Government is not looking, especially these days, and especially when this new administration comes in, they're not going to be looking out for the interests of the people, the common people, the salt of the earth. They're going to be looking out for the interest of all of the billionaires and the profiteers that are funding their coffers. And those are the people they're going to be paying more attention to.
And Robert, let me do this. So Tony says, can the state mandate, and this is for you, Paul, can the state mandate higher standards, or they government governed by the federal agencies?
Well, good morning, Earl and audience, and thank you for that question, Tony. It's really spot on. Back in 1974, when I was a wee lad, Gerald Ford signed into law 50 years ago on December 16th of 2024, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and that federal law was brought into birth because people were demanding all over the country that our government act to protect us. And what we've seen over the years of that law is that there have been some progress, but still fundamentally transparency and accountability, as my colleague Robert Miranda said, it's not happening. And fortunately, in many states, not in all, the states can pass drinking water and regulations that are enforceable and transparent above and beyond what the federal government does. So in many states, like in Wisconsin, the federal law can be the floor. In some states, the federal law is the ceiling, and the states can't go above the federal law by the constitutions in their states. So we've got some work to do, and people are going to need to demand of their government, of their water utilities, of their, you know, everybody to do a better job. But Tony, your question is right at the heart of it. And the only thing that's going to move government and the water utilities in the right direction is people agitating when they have the information to find out that this is a priority for people in our lives, in our bodies, and to speak out and to do something about it.
Robert?
Yeah, it goes to the very point, and that is that you have the fox watching the hen house, And in this case, the water utilities are the ones that regulate themselves. They're pretty much writing the regulations, and the EPA is just passing it along. And so the water industry is manipulating the EPA into a situation where they're making sure their interests are protected and they're not held accountable. That's got to be reversed. The public needs to hold the water industry, the water utilities, accountable for their water infrastructure to make them provide fresh, clean, safe water to the public.
Dr. Lambenito, what we live in a representative government. Why aren't our elected officials holding these people accountable?
I think that there are power dynamics, and the water utility industry is very powerful and has a lot of influence over our elected officials as well. That's a big problem, too.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday, and that means I'm joined by the co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. 855-752-4842. More coming up.
Crystal blue persuasion.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Again, my guests are Paul Swartz and Dr. Yana Lambenito with Campaign for Lead-Free Water and Robert Miranda of FLAC. And before we, Robert, I turn it back over to you. Tony, once again, has some great questions. And so, Dr. Yana, Have any elected officials been receptive to higher standards, or is it not high enough priority for them to even get involved? And then he asks, where and who specifically should we be putting pressure on to deal with this issue?
Yeah, that's such a great question, Tony. And in fact, the state of Michigan has, after the Flint water crisis that I imagine most listeners have heard about or familiar with the leadership of former Governor Rick Snyder, did pass a state-specific lead and copper rule that, although not perfect, is at this point the most health protective lead in drinking water regulation in the country. And there's other efforts and movements around the country. In Washington, D.C., for example, which is where my colleague Paul Swartz and myself live, D.C. passed a regulation a few years ago mandating the installation of lead certified filters at every single tap, at every single school, public school in our city that is used for drinking or cooking. So there are, and Michigan actually has passed a similar filter first legislation for schools as well. So there are initiatives that are happening in different parts of the country, but certainly we're hoping that a lot more will happen. And as Paul Schwartz said earlier, that requires the public's mobilization and working with elected officials to provide them the information and help them see how this is really pretty much a black and white issue. There's no scientific debate around the health harm that is posed by lead in drinking water. That is clear, and there are very clear recommendations by the CDC and EPA around lead in drinking water. And really, the only "quote unquote" safe level of lead in water is zero. It's no lead at all.
Robert, go ahead, man.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those are good questions. And I also wanted to mention that, you know, at the local level, there are things that activists can do as well. You know, when we first started this action here in Milwaukee in 2015, one of the areas that we pushed hard to have the city of Milwaukee change was this practice of partial lead lateral removal of the so-called private public side. And that was a practice that the city was engaged in. And we worked with former Alderman Ashante Hamilton, Tony Zielinski, Bob Donovan, and a couple others to put a resolution together and make a mandate out of stopping that practice, because the partial lead lateral removal basically disrupted or disturbed pipes, causing lead contamination to rise to significant levels. The other thing is, I wanted to touch on what Dr. Lambrini Du had mentioned earlier in regards to the water utilities and accountability and stuff. And one of the biggest obstacles to accountability and holding water utilities accountable is the American Water Works Association, which currently has a lawsuit filed against the EPA in which the new lead copper rule improvement, the LCRI, that just came out in October of last year, has some really good stuff in it, especially where it relates to lead pipe replacements. And this American Water Works Association, the AWWA, went ahead and filed a lawsuit against lead pipe replacements because they feel that it's not really feasible to remove these pipes in 10 years. The cost, other issues that they feel is not just. And again, this is a water utility lobby that is more interested in the welfare and power of the water utilities instead of the public health, instead of the good of the regular common folk in this country. And again, they have put together various different networks out there. And one of those networks is located here in Wisconsin. And as a matter of fact, one of those networks spokesperson wrote an op-ed in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel not long ago, talking about the crumbling water pipes. And even though it sounded very good and stuff, this guy is Dr. Theodoro, Manuel Theodoro out of UW-Madison, put this op-ed together talking about how he and 50 of his colleagues got together to discuss the future of water here in Wisconsin and around the country in relation to the lead pipes, and how they have a 50-year vision of how we could deal. Nobody want to live with this stuff for another 50 years. That's crazy. You're talking about generations being contaminated with lead and water for another 50 years, that right there in itself shows the careless, the callous, the reckless way of thinking in regards to dealing with this. 50 years is way too much. We've been living with this for hundreds of years already. And this guy's talking about we want to move forward with another 50 years. That's out of line. And so, you know, activists in this state, activists in the city need to push back on that kind of language, need to push back on those kind of op-eds and tell people who don't have a real interest in our community, who don't sit with real people at the table and talk about how we can make this go away and get to the point where the community wants it to be, not where they think it should be. It's very important that people get involved in this matter as it relates to lead and water.
You know, Paul, the old axiom, you can't beat City Hall. But you and what you guys have been able to do in Washington, D.C., what do you want to say to people who are listening now, who are living in rural areas or whatever, and they feel like they just, this is more than what they can even imagine?
Yeah, so I think there's three important things, really, to understand as ordinary individuals protecting our families and communities. One is that information is power, and that finding out the facts about the lead and water exposure in your community, knowing that lead is in coming out of almost every tap in the United States, whether you're living in a rural community, off of private wells, or you're in a small community with a small water system, or in a big city like Chicago or LA or Milwaukee or DC, that understanding that your family's being hammered by this toxin that everybody can pronounce, lead, and though it's invisible and you can't taste it, that it's important that people know, first of all, that that's happening. Second, people have some power in their communities to bring up these issues and make them a priority and mobilize around it. And third, that there are other folks in other communities who have been on this journey who are willing to help you confront this power. At the 30,000 foot level, this is a really easy thing to talk about. Lead and water don't mix. When you start going down into the layers of the onion, you know, as we've been doing today on this show, it gets a little more complex. The fact that the water utilities, the American Water Works Association, which was founded in 1881 at the at Washington University in St. Louis, one of their first committees was about lead and water. And ever since then, they've been pushing back against regulation and for more use of lead and water in plumbing. And so it's not surprising that the American Water Works Association and the 4,000, over 4,000 water utilities they represent across the country have sued to push back against some of the strengthening provisions. Now, we can't leave that up to the lawyers. People need to talk to their local, state, and national elected officials and put this on their radar screen. And at the Campaign for Lead-Free Water and with FLAC and other folks, ordinary folks in communities who are organizing on this, we're here to help. And I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Lambrini-Du to add.
So Dr. Lambrini-Du, before you, Tony once again, lives in a rural area, as you can see, very perceptive, says facts are good, but are there any places where people can find the impact of lead in their communities?
So one thing to add, Tony, I first of all, I want to second what Paul just said, and to say that the immediate first thing that people can do is to obtain lead certified filters. These are filters that are certified with the NSF certification of 42 and 53, and they are installed at the point of use, right at the faucet. So that's one immediate way that people can protect themselves from lead in drinking water while also hopefully mobilizing in exactly those ways that Paul mentioned. Now, in terms of assessing or finding out the effects of lead on one's community, that is not so easy. And why is that? It's not so easy because, first of all, assessing lead in drinking water and detecting it can be a challenge, precisely because lead tends to fall into the water in unpredictable and erratic ways. So when we use our standard testing to find out, if a tap is safe or not, it is very easy to miss worst case or high contamination because the release of lead from plumbing is almost like a Russian roulette phenomenon. You might turn on the tap 9 times and have no lead in the water at all, and the 10th time you can have very high levels of lead in the water. Secondly, when it comes to blood lead testing, which is a good thing, and we encourage it, we recommend it, but it has limitations. When children are exposed, and all of us, to very high levels of lead, our blood lead levels can spike for a short amount of time, and then they tend to drop after a while. So unless the blood lead level testing happens soon after one's exposure, it is also easy to miss that exposure and the potential health harm.
855-752-4842. Dr. Lambrini-Du, Paul Swartz, co-founders of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Robert Miranda, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Once again, every Wednesday at this time, I'm joined by the co-founders of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du, Robert Miranda Flack. And Robert, before I turn it over to you, I just want to let people know that we are working on a powerful podcast of this program that will be appearing on Civic Media. We're getting very close to where this is going to be. So let's do this. Before we go back to you, Robert, Dr. Lambrini-Du and Paul Swartz and Robert Miranda, let's talk a little bit about what will be appearing and happening on the podcast that we are working on. Dr. Lambrini-Du? Can't hear you. I can't hear you. Let's go.
Yana, can I? I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dr. Lombrini. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're so delighted about this opportunity. Lead in drinking water has so many aspects to it. Many times it's presented as just a purely engineering or chemistry issue, corrosion control, things like that. In reality, it is, I would argue, far more of a social and political issue, and it's far more an environmental justice issue. We are really looking at a problem that is created by very serious power differentials between the people who are making decisions about our water and the people who are consuming our water. And there is a long history with multiple dimensions to this issue. Very important work that has been done by people both on the ground, affected community members, parents of children who've been poisoned from the water, but also academics, historians, public health professionals, social scientists, and others. So we're putting together a podcast series with each session addressing different dimensions of this issue, which we hope are going to empower all listeners to protect themselves and their families and communities, and to work hard and mobilize, exactly like Paul said earlier, to support their elected officials to do the right thing and develop legislation in their communities that finally pushes for transparency and accountability and, first and foremost, public health and environmental justice.
Paul, the importance of this podcast?
Yeah, so yeah, and its role in manufacturing ignorance has been really at the center of the cover-up and the harm that's going on across our country. And so this is a real opportunity, working with Civic Media and with you, Earl, and the Earl Abrams Show, to do something groundbreaking that busts the myths and the manufactured ignorance that's out there in America. And so we invite listeners like Tony and others into a conversation with us to explore how lead and water, this contaminant we can all pronounce, and that's been around and we know known about as a problem in water since Roman and Greek times, 2,000 years ago. We invite you into this conversation. And as my colleague, Dr. Yana Lambrini-Du and Robert Miranda have said, it's transparency and accountability and the role of media as bringing in the sunlight and being a cleansing agent for those things that ail us, that affect our lives, like this scourge of lead and water. That's what the podcast is going to be addressing. And we're so grateful to you, Earl, and to Civic Media for this opportunity to do something that no other media outlet in the United States has ever done. And we think this is going to be really groundbreaking.
Hey, Robert, your thoughts? Robert? Okay. Well, so so let me do this quickly. Do the lead pipes start to shed and put more lead in the water as they get older? Was the lead, was this less of an issue in the past when the pipes were new?
No, both new lead pipes and old lead pipes can release lead for different reasons. So lead pipes are a serious hazard no matter what their age.
Well, I want to thank you guys as always. Man, it's great information, you know, and Tony, thank you for great questions. And so we're looking forward to moving this on and making it happen in the coming weeks. Thank you very much. Until then, we'll see you guys again in a week. Up next, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.